Welcome and thank you for listening to today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast and or show. I want to thank you if you're checking us out on YouTube or if you are listening to us wherever you get your podcast, all the same. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the love. You probably saw by the title, today's going to be a little bit different. Not talking football. That is just, that's for our own mental health. We have, there's been a lot of tough, sad topics surrounding the football team right now. And what was everybody saying in the low point on Saturday? Well, thank goodness basketball season is around the corner. And just to celebrate and purge the system of negativity and fill it up with overwhelming optimism, this is going to be a basketball show today. There was media days for basketball. There was an open practice to the public Saturday. And we're going to talk about that. Joining us today, Brandy Mack. You can find Brandy Mack on Twitter at Brandy Mack with three E's. Also, if you may have seen the infamous "What do you think of Mac and Memes" post, if you know what we're talking about, you know. If you don't, you don't. Be glad you don't. But we figured, hey, what better way to celebrate than get back behind the mic, get up on the camera, and get back to the roots. Memes and Mac are back, and we're going to be talking some ball. Brandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Memes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had to run it back. And it started literally out of the blue. Got a text from Brandy. Just said, I'm excited for basketball. I saw that Brandy Mack text pop up on the phone. I said, what could this be about? You know, I was expecting bad news or something crazy or just, you know, anything other than just like the most heartwarming feeling of optimism I could have ever expected. And, yeah. Excited for basketball. Three perfect words, but I think that sums up. And that may just be the title of the episode, Excited for Basketball, because I think we all are. But media days. Last week, got a whole lot of notes from that. So let's just jump right into that before we get into this practice. Just keep it in chronological order. What'd you see from media days? What's got you hyped up right now?
Yeah, a lot of things that Bruce said. I think a lot of us know that Bruce is pretty open and honest about his team's before going into the season, in the season, after the season. At the end of last year, kind of ended his press conference after we lost in the tournament, basically saying, I need to get some more guys in here because we need help. So one of the questions that he was asked was kind of just about bringing in some lower level players like Denver Jones and Chaney Johnson, who came from a mid-major or came from D2. And I really like what Bruce said. He essentially said, you know, I came from D2s and mid majors and worked my way all the way up to Tennessee and now Auburn, and basically said this is a land of opportunity. And later in his press conference, he talked about one of essentially the best players on his team are the hardest workers. And one person that he pointed out was the hardest worker on the team in the locker room and the weight room is Denver Jones. So that's pretty exciting that one of our hardest workers is from a mid major. So said a lot of really great things too. Essentially said that we have so much parity at every position and he has not kind of figured out his starting lineup yet. Something else about that that was interesting to me is he said not one single player on the team has asked if they'll be starting yet. I feel like that kind of speaks to some of the team chemistry that we have going into the season. I know a lot of us have kept up with social media, what the basketball team is putting out there content wise, and you can kind of feel that chemistry oozing out of those posts.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's be real. Bruce knows that the players know. I don't know why. It's not that late, but I'm sure talking like it. The players know that no matter where they're at, they're going to get their minutes, whether it's starting or whether they're rotational guys off the bench. If they play hard, which I think we expect a lot of these guys to be playing hard, don't think there is even a remote sweat that wherever their place is in the rotation, that they're going to get a chance to show what they can do. So I already know the answer to this question. We already know what you're going to say. Who's a player that you're most hyped about this season? Who's your sleeper player?
My sleeper player is Chaney Johnson.
I mean,
just his size, his ability to kind of have that athleticism that we had in Allen Flanagan, who we know transferred to Ole Miss. We needed somebody to replace the athleticism piece, and I think Chaney's a great fit for that. Do I think he's going to start? Not sure. Could potentially be a great sixth man off the bench. I think he's being slept on in this conference as a whole. People see his name and see that he was a transfer from a Division II school, but everything that we've heard is he's a hard worker in the weight room. he gets out there and he plays hard in practice, and it's going to be fun to see him get some dunks out there. I feel like it's been a little bit since we've had a super electric player like him, and I'm expecting big things from him, especially towards the end of conference play. I think it might take him a little bit to adjust to some of the tougher competition that we're starting our schedule off with. But, you know, once he gets that adjustment in there from D2 to D1, I think we're going to see some great things from him.
So let's just say this. I want to say this a little bit earlier, what you mentioned about the guys coming up from D2 and smaller schools. Bruce is obviously a master evaluator and his staff. There is no denying that. I mean, what I think most people feel is probably going to be the best player on the team all around. Jani Broome came from Morehead State, much smaller school. I believe, didn't Auburn play them the year before he came?
Yeah.
Because I think Broome, they had an expedition game with North Alabama. Was it North Alabama or UAH? Whichever one that Cheney came from.
UAH,
okay. Because that's, yeah, so they had an exhibition with him. And even, I guess technically Katie Johnson, they played Georgia. And then I think there was another player that I'm sleeping on. Maybe it might have been a last year's team that they even played against before they transferred here. So it's kind of an interesting trait. And there might have been some in past transfers Bruce has had. So I find it very interesting that players that he'd played against previously, who obviously they had scouted when they were, you know, doing game evaluations, where guys said, this guy. And then he saw what they could do firsthand, played against them when they entered the portal, said, hey, come on, we already know. They have not really struck out with these transfers, and they have done very, very well with a lot of these guys, and they have definitely played over, I think, some of their abilities. Now, you got guys like Walker Kessler, came from North Carolina. Obviously, that was going to be NBA hopeful, and I think he exceeded even the highest of expectations, which was awesome. Great for the program. And you guys got like Wendell Green. I know there can be some controversy surrounding Wendell, and I think the controversy, and it's funny I say that, because I think the controversy was because he did so well at Auburn early on. I think people just expected so much because of the role he quickly came on into, and there just got to be a point when the pieces weren't around him that there were some weaknesses in his game. But I think it was just a team thing as a whole. But he definitely played above what I think people thought originally would have been his ability. And even at a high school, I mean, a guy that was very, you know, underevaluated, and despite the size disadvantages, things he had, I mean, he was a baller. So, but yeah, Cheney Johnson, let's get in him. So at this, I mean, I'm going to jump up for open practice and we're going to go back to media days here. Absolutely balled out at this open practice. Okay. That was probably my biggest, like, eyes open. So I was shooting the practice. So I was floor level. I saw it about as close as you could see it. Got some really cool shots. If you see the thumbnail of this video, if you're watching on YouTube, that was one that we snagged. And if you want to see some of the ones I'm talking about, check out the Auburn Memes Instagram page. I got a really cool sequence of Trey Donaldson going up for a nasty dunk. Just a four-part picture of just the drive, the jump, the slam, the jam. It was awesome. So, but they all, I mean, really everybody had a lot of fun things to talk about. Normally don't allow folks any media who's at practice to talk about practice. This was an open practice, so it was a little bit more fair game to mention just the goods, the bads. I'm not even going to say the uglies or the bads. There weren't really any bads that we saw. It was mostly just all goods and hype. But we're getting into too much of the open practice. What were some other notes that you had from media days that were like, all right, we excited now?
Yeah, I think depth. He talked multiple times about depth in here. He quote for quote said, I love our depth. One of the things he said, the bad thing is when the ball gets tossed, our five guys may not be much better than anybody else's five guys, but when I go to the bench, I'm not dropping off. I'm different, but I'm not dropping off. So that's exactly what he said. And that excites me because every Bruce Pearl team that's gone really far in the tournament has had a lot of depth. So I think that's something to look forward to. Kind of speaks to what Bruce did in the transfer portal this offseason. He even talked about utilizing the portal more than utilizing high school kids, and he thinks that's going to be more common for him and his staff going forward too. Something else that I think is really exciting, which we all already know what the schedule looks like coming up, but we have a lot of really, really great out-of-conference opponents. We start the season off with Baylor in South Dakota, and we play USC with Bronny James on there. Also play Notre Dame, play Indiana in Atlanta. So we have a pretty decent out-of-conference schedule this year, which I feel like last year our out-of-conference schedule was a little wasn't as exciting. And Bruce did talk a little bit about that and essentially said, I scheduled this because I believe in our guys. I want Auburn basketball to stay relevant. Essentially, he wants to send a message to his team and to the fans that he believes in his team. He believes in us. He doesn't care who we're playing. He also said he doesn't schedule hard. If he doesn't schedule hard, he is obviously concerned we're not good enough. So the fact that he did schedule some tougher opponents this year compared to last year makes me feel like he definitely thinks his team is good enough and has improved a lot from last year.
And the Baylor game, I think, is going to be the kicker there to see. I mean, that's going to be their first big opponent, and I think that's really going to show what they're made of. And I think this team, I mean, just think about it. If Auburn can come out and beat Baylor, I mean, you talk about a huge statement, year-defining win. Now, do I think that's necessarily going to happen? Yeah, that might be a pretty tall order. I'm not going to bug and go out on a limb and say it's definitely happening, but oh man, if it does. I think this is I hate to use the phrase, this is the year, but I got a lot of hype for this team, and I feel like the fact that they were – where were they picked in the SEC? Like sixth, I believe, to finish?
I think you're right. I think fifth or sixth around there. Yeah, sixth. I think Bama was picked fifth.
Well, yeah, because remember Nate Oates had his – had to cry river that he kept getting picked fifth. I think you infamously tweeted a little something about that.
Yeah, in the last, I think, 3 or 4 years, the team's finishing spot has averaged like finishing around 4.475, and it's like – probably being picked where you should be picked given everything.
So talking depth and minutes here, you've got your returners. So you've got Trey, you've got Cardwell, or we'll start guards down. So you got Trey, you got KD, you've got Chris Moore, Jalen, Cardwell, and Broom. I'm talking returning scholarship guys. And we can sprinkle Lior in there as well. And then your new folks that you brought in here would have been Denver. You brought, of course, you got Chaney, you got Che Baker Mazzara, and then you got Aiden, and then Adrian Scott.
I think it's a Darren, maybe.
Do what?
Isn't it a Darren, or is that Adrian Scott?
Oh my gosh, I'm dyslexic moment. A Darian Scott, yeah, my fault.
It's okay.
For it's those late. Out there it's listening, late. Watching. There's some legitimate dyslexia there. So I'll read a name and then just be like, huh? And then anyway, yes, thank you for the correction. What would I do without you? That's why you're here. So those are your new guys. And I mean, I legitimately think you're going to be seeing 10 to 11 guys on this team getting significant minutes.
Yeah, I completely agree with you too. And starting off with the point guard position, essentially Bruce was asked about that at Media Days too. And he talked about how, he kind of compared it to football, quarterback play super important in the SEC, right? And he essentially pointed out point guard position, that's the position that we're the youngest at. Obviously, Trey didn't start in that position last year. And he essentially said, they both can shoot it really well. He's not really worried about what they can do on offense. He's more worried about, interested to see who's going to be the better player on defense and who's going to be the better playmaker, who's going to be the better leader on the team. He essentially said there's a lot of stuff to be figured out there at that point guard position. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Trey start at Baylor, just given that he's probably knows the playbook a lot better than Aiden does coming in. He may not be as good on defense as Aiden. And by the time we get to conference play, Aiden may end up starting. But it sounds like there's a lot of really healthy competition there at the point guard position. And one of these two young guys could really step up and be a leader for this team, because we definitely are going to need it at that spot.
So Auburn has the expedition game, which will be November 1st. So that is about 2.5 weeks from today. It seems, because I remember I went to the one last year, and the lineups and the things that they do usually aren't exact, like the minutes especially are not totally reflective of what they'll see beginning of the season. But unlike last year, you do start out with Baylor right out of the gate, so maybe they're going to have to use this as much more of a realistic indication for what they need to do, because it's not like with Baylor, you're not going to try not to tweak that as much on the fly. So I personally think Trey will end up starting at that position for a few reasons. One, just watching him, Trey was balling out. I already mentioned, too, that Trey had that just nasty dunk. Trey was one of the leaders for points at the scrimmage. So want to give a shout out here. They didn't, the SIDs didn't do any live point totals. So Justin Ferguson, the Auburn Observer, go check them out. Awesome stuff. Incredible basketball coverage. I'm assuming that he has some point totals and stats from that game. So I'm assuming he just took those manually. If so, and I don't want to, you know, break Justin's paywall here. I want to go say, check out the Observer if you want to see all this, but I will just say Trey was one of the leading scorers of that. And everybody who was shooting did pretty well from three as well. That would be another thing to get pretty excited about, Trey included. And he is all over the place as far as defensively. He's just a bigger body. He's got experience in the system. I think you're going to see a lot of them play early on and throughout the season. I think you'll have a lot of kind of like a 1A, 1B, but I think Trey was trending in the right direction last year. You saw what he did in March. I mean, he drilled, ice water in his veins in the tournament in Birmingham. Just drilled those threes. Did not seem like the moment was too big for him whatsoever. Heard good things about it. He play and practice just the way he looked out there. It looked good. And I've heard other people say that who've seen a lot more practice and a lot more stuff than I have. I think we're in good hands with the depth with Trey and Aiden getting it. I mean, Aiden, now his three-point shot looking sharp, looking sweet.
Yeah.
So
what about Janai's three-point shooting? I've heard some good things from Coach Pearl there. Was there anything you saw from him from behind the arc in the open practice?
He took a few shots, had a few misses there, but he had a lot of volume from deep as well. So that was, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think that was one of the evaluation reports that he was trying to work on with all the league stuff. Obviously, the free throws, kind of a pain point there. But that's just one of the things that they want to see at the next level. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that Broom is working on and then tries to take, especially early, because I would guess very similar to some cases with Walker and Dylan. When they get to take that shot, the other coach are saying, just let him take it. Just try to play the rebound. And the beauty is, if he can get that pretty unopposed early and those buckets start landing, I mean, that's easy free points. So that's some free throws, just a little bit more distance, a little bit more meat on it. Janai, he played as well as you're going to expect him to play. I don't think anybody's got to worry about him. I think it's safe to say, correct me if I'm a hot take on this, Janai's probably got one of the highest floors on the team.
Yeah, I don't think that's a hot take.
Okay. And another person I want to ask, and I'm a truther here, led in scoring, might I add, for the scrimmage, Chris Moore.
I knew you had to talk about him.
You know, I'm a Chris Moore truther.
Okay, you are. And I heard great things about him. So my biggest thing with him was it seems like he was a liability on the offensive side of the ball. If everything that came out of that open practice pans out to happen in the season, I will fully support your Chris Moore narrative memes.
Yeah, he was statistically all over the place, led in points, had a very good, it wasn't just a high volume, it was a very high percentage lead. Like I said, I'm not going to give away Justin's numbers here. I'm not going to rob his paywall, but if his numbers are accurate as to what happened, great percentage there. And I've been up on Chris Moore because, like I said, a lot of people were down on him. He was a very much an efficient guy. I've said this on the mic numerous times, efficient play. He had a major drop off after that shoulder injury against the Ole Miss game last year. And he just never really, I very confidently say he was never 100% from that. Cause I even remember watching him in March playing in Birmingham, and he just grabbed that shoulder at one point in that game and just let out an audible yell, like he was in an immense amount of pain. So I think that's a pretty good sign to say that shoulder was probably bothering him throughout the season, even though he played through a lot of that. I think it's also safe to say that he's probably healthy from that now, had time to recover, get some things right. I also think Chris Moore is going to give a very high floor at that three position. And, I mean, he's going to light it up and pull some of those, like, flan moments, no, but I think when he's out there, high percentage shots, get it, go get it guy on defense. You know me, I'm on that Chris Moore. I'm on that Chaney train. I think Chaney's going to sneak up. I think a lot of people saw Oz Deuce from a really small school. That's just a depth piece. Like, no, I think he's going to be a big contributor. Already said my deal about Trey. Already said my deal about Chris. We already know what's happening with Broom. I think Dylan Cardwell's just going to be just doing Dylan Cardwell stuff, just doing exactly what he's been doing and just bringing that energy and bringing good relief. Jalen, same kind of deal with Jalen. I think you get a lot of this. Now, Denver, one we'll get to in a second, because I think a lot of people want to talk about him. But I think the key thing for this team and where it could really derail quickly is these guys just got to stay healthy. And the other funny, this can sound kind of funny because a lot of these guys play so physical and just the way they play basketball, they got to stay out of foul trouble because they love getting those whistles blown on them. And they love just sometimes you're drawn out there a little bit. You know how Bruce can be like, you know, is there a narrative that the refs are against him and this and that? Wink, wink, obviously not, but it does seem oddly coincidental just how quickly some of those really chippy fouls can get called on Auburn players where somebody on the other team can sock a guy in the jaw and then just the whistle swallowed all of a sudden. I don't know, but it just seems to be that way.
Hey, that's – the refs always hate Auburn in every sport.
Yeah. No, yeah, we know how we feel about the refs. Now, I hit it a little bit. Tell me about your guy, Denver Jones.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce had a lot to say about him and Jalen Williams at SEC Media Days. Just wanted to say one thing on Jalen Williams. The first game that we win this season, Jalen Williams is going to become the most winningest Auburn basketball player in our history. Nice. Yeah, he talks about that a little bit. Yeah, I mean, he's a fifth-year senior, or I guess I think he's a grad student, but thought that was really exciting, and Bruce had a lot of really great things to say about him. So that's going to be really cool when that happens. But yes, Denver Jones, I'm excited about him. I don't think that he did much at the open practice from what I heard, but I think he is a really good ball handler and can really open up the floor and give us a lot better spacing than what we had last year. I do think Denver is going to start.
I'd gotten some word that he had been kind of under the weather most of the week prior. So I think that could, I'm not going to speculate too much, but maybe just connect some fairly obvious dots that maybe that could have kind of been a player to it. He's probably kind of getting back over. I don't know if we'll just, for lack of better words here, flu-ish type situation.
Gotcha.
Wasn't feeling good.
All right. That makes a lot more sense because at Media Days, Bruce essentially said, whoever my top three or four guys are that are in the gym every morning and late at night, he said Denver Jones is one of them. And then he also said that he's excited for him in his first game against Baylor. Kind of think that's a little hint that he's going to end up starting there. And then he said he's excited for him in the exhibition game coming up too, because in a couple of weeks, he said the fans are all going to see that Denver can shoot it, score it, and defend it. So I'm really excited about Denver's potential ceiling going into the season. It sounds like Bruce is pretty high on him from kind of a work ethic standpoint, but also just talent level standpoint and what he can do. Sounds like he's really versatile on both sides of the ball. So I'm excited about Denver.
Yeah, the most hype around him coming in as far as like a recruiting standpoint, a lot of other schools wanted him. There was a school on the other side of the state that wanted him till they didn't get him. And then all of a sudden they didn't want him. And the guy who they wanted instead ended up getting kicked off the team for some, we'll just say some criminal charges got brought up on the strip one night. So don't want to go any further into that, but that is what happened to their alternate to Denver Jones.
Bruce Denver, would say that Denver is extremely humble too, especially the guy, and I think he said this about Chaney as well, the guys that are coming from mid-majors and D2 schools. He said they've been in a lot of buses and had McDonald's as pregame meals, and now they're finally getting in a position because they worked hard to be at a place like Auburn where they're having a lot nicer pregame meals and maybe also getting to travel via a plane to SEC Media Days or a plane to wherever we're playing our out-of-conference opponents. And essentially just said these guys are extremely humble that are coming from these mid-major and D2 schools. So I think we'll see that from both Denver and Chaney out there on the floor, which I feel like we kind of need. I feel like there was a little bit of arrogance that, you know, out there last year. And I'm excited to see a more humble team. We aren't ranked in the preseason AP poll that came out in the top 25. I don't think we are. So I feel like that's when Auburn does its best, when we're humble and, you know, we have something to prove out there and we have guys on our team who want to prove it and feel like they earn their chance to prove it.
Well, I will say, and I'm not going to say any names, but I got some word that there are some other players who are doing some of the show up early, get the work done, and I'll let it kind of be a surprise to everybody, but I think this team as a whole, they got that work ethic. So I'm looking at the AP poll right now. Auburn did receive some votes. Looks like 27 marks for Auburn there. Did not make it in the 25, but looks like they're pretty fringe close. If you look at it from last year, if you just kind of go by what the tournament will tell you, Auburn makes it to the round of 32. I think it would be safe to say Auburn was probably a top, we'll just say 32 team. I don't think that's a hot take to say. Even last year, and it's incredible to think that, you know, I think history will tell us that was somewhat of a down year for Auburn, and they're still top there. It's incredible. I mean, 10 years ago to say that Auburn's just in the tournament, I mean, they've been rolling tumors just for that. So now I don't think it will take long for Auburn to crack the top 25 for the year. How Alabama's ranked 24, crazy. Baylor is 20. Ranked number 20, yep. That'll be a key matchup. Kentucky's, I'm going over the SEC schools. Kentucky 16, A&M 15, Arkansas 14. Tennessee is number 9. And then that is the highest ranked SEC school. And then Kansas sits at number 1. I'm personally not buying into the Tennessee hype. I think that might be a little overinflated. Maybe I will come back in a few months and look like Nostradamus. Maybe I will look like a complete jester. We will see. But I'm feeling pretty good. I think Auburn regular season is going to finish. Am I bugging to say top 4 in the SEC?
Ooh, I'm going to say top 5 in the SEC.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're, if they're 6, I think they're going to finish higher than that. I think the keys to that are going to be just them staying healthy, developing that chemistry. And it seems, just from watching it, it seems like this team has got a lot of chemistry. Seems like they're vibing very, very well. And I think that's going to take them really, really far. So that's going to wrap us up for this episode. I want to thank Brandy Mack jumping on, helping us talk a little bit of basketball, helping purge our mind, body, and soul. And we know we're just a few weeks away from some big, exciting things. Hope you join us again to talk some more ball, Brandy. We are going to conclude the episode. I want to thank everybody for listening.